Okay. Okay. So tonight, we'll be in chapter 23 of Luke. Verse 1, we'll start. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to see him, to see some miracle done by him, rather. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one that perverts the people, and behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you," accuse him. "No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done to him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one to them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them. And they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them that of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released them unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and hills to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save yourself." And the superinscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which hang railed on him, saying, "If you be Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Doest thou not fear God, seeing thou art of the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say to you, today shalt you be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to the site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and was a good man and a just man. And the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn out of stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Mouthful, huh? Back to the first verse. Boy, there's some beautiful stuff in here. And the whole multitude of them, literally the word whole means absolutely whole, all the multitude of them rose and led him to Pilate. What does his name mean? Armed with a spear or a dart. You know what he was? He was the sixth ruler. What would that tell you? He was the ruler of man. Okay? Pilate was the sixth Roman ruler there. Yeah. Over the land right there where he's at around Jerusalem. He was the sixth ruler. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow corrupting the nation and forbidding to give tribute or taxes to Caesar. Was he telling them to do that? He told them to give to Caesar what's Caesar's and to God what's God's. See, they lied, but it didn't work. They tried everything in the world, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Okay? And Pilate asked him, saying, Are you the King of the Jews? And he responded to him and said, It is as you say. Most of the translations, if you look at it, says it correctly, other than King James. And it says, It is as you say. And now King James says it, You say it. Yeah, that's not what it says. It says, It is as you say. King James sometimes really does some messed up translating, but it's there for us to work through, so we can live with it. Verse 4. Then said Pilate to the, not chief priest, but the high priest, and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they insisted stoutly, when it says were the more fierce, it should say, they insisted stoutly, saying, He is exciting the people and teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee, or the heathen circle, to this place. All the way from the heathen circle to Jerusalem, right? Galilee, the heathen circle. All the way from the heathen circle all the way to the highest place. He said he's perverting, literally, they said up here earlier, he was perverting the whole nation, wasn't he? Where are you talking about? Mine says Jewry. I'm reading right out of the King James. Well, it's Judah. Judah is the Jews. I mean, but still, this book says Jewry. J-E-W-R-E-R-Y. It's King James, so I know this thing's messed up. Okay. but it says jury throughout all jury, see, that he's perverting things. So the Word of God will change how many people? Eventually it's going to change them all. It may not be right now, but eventually it's going to change them all. All the way from the religious realm to the top, all the way to the bottom of the heathen. It'll get them all. And he asked him whether, when he heard that he was a heathen, he asked the man, was he a heathen? No. He was from Galilee. As soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at this time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad because he was desirous to see him for a long season. A long time. Because he had heard many things of him, and he expected to see some miracle done by him. See? That tells you he really didn't want him for the right reason. Why did he want to see him? He didn't want to have a relationship or to know God. He just wanted to see some miracles. He wanted to be entertained, kind of like church folk. You know, they like to be entertained. Yeah, they like to be entertained in this circle, don't they? And then he questioned him in many words, but he responded to him nothing. Kind of like that mute lamb. He just didn't get along with it. Like I said, in other places, he went as a mute lamb. And the high priest and the scribes stood and fiercely accused him. Sometime in your life, you're going to experience this. I promise you. You're going to be fiercely accused when you've done nothing. If we don't suffer with him, we'll not reign with him. We're going to go through those same things. Falsely accused. Was he falsely accused? Do you think you're not going to be falsely accused? He didn't do anything wrong, did he? And see, now usually if we do something wrong, we can take it. Say, well, I deserve that. Don't we say things like that? If I did something, okay, I'll take the punishment. I did it. But when you don't do nothing, and then you get bashed right in the face for it, that's hard to swallow, isn't it? I think it's in Timothy where he said, if you get punished for doing something evil, what thank have you got for that? But if you are condemned for doing good, this is well-pleasing unto God. See? And that's a hard thing to swallow. When you haven't done anything wrong and you're being condemned, beat up, spoken evil of, mistreated, all those things come when you don't deserve them. All it's doing is giving you an opportunity to give grace and mercy to someone who can't even see it when you give it to them. Do you think when Jesus gave grace and mercy and he said, Father, forgive them, do you think any of those people standing there understood what he said? I don't think a single person there standing there understood a thing. Do you? So, even though you're going to be condemned unjustly, you still have to have mercy and grace. When everyone else was condemning him, he never condemned anyone else, did he? That's the pattern we have to watch. And Herod with his troops or soldiers, they set him at naught. Literally, they despised him and mocked him. And they arrayed him in this magnificent robe and sent him back to Pilate. Okay? And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends or became one with another. That's what it should say. They become one with one another because before they were in hostility between themselves. And you know what made them come together? Killing an innocent man. Crucifying him, see? It's just like a bunch of a pack of dogs jumping on one that's hurt. You know, they'll jump up and get together and just start beating everybody up and taking over. And that's just what happens. When you see someone down, they pile on. Yep. And Pilate, when he called together the high priest and the rulers of the people, said to them, you brought this man to me as one that perverts the people, and behold, I have examined him before you and have found not even one fault in this man. That's what the language says, not even one fault in this man. whereof you have accused him. No, nor yet Herod, because he sent you back to us, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done by him. That's what the book says, not to him, but by him. I will therefore discipline him and release him. Because of necessity, he must release to them one to them at the feast. And they all cried all at once, saying, lift up this man and release to us Barabbas. Lift up this man. What are they saying? Crucify him. Hang him up on that tree. Crucify him. And release to us Barabbas. What does his name mean? Son of a father. Okay, well, son of a father is what the other language says. I don't know where you got that one. 18. Son of a father. Jesus made a statement in John 8:44. Do you know what it is? You're of your father, the devil. And the works of your father, you will do. So guess what? Who's this Barabbas the son of? He was a murderer, right? And a thief and all these things. So guess what? Who was he talking about? He was talking about the natural man. That's his father. See, this man didn't have anything to do with God at the time. He was representing the other side, the carnal side. And he released to him Barabbas, the son of the natural man, who for a certain insurrection made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Didn't he also say, you're of your father, your devil, your father is a murderer from the beginning? He said in John, he said, your father is a murderer from the beginning. Pilate therefore, preferring to release Jesus, spoke again to them, but they cried saying, crucify, crucify him. The word him in between crucify there shouldn't be there. It should just be this. Crucify, crucify him. Okay, that's what they were saying. Now, what does the word crucify mean? Impale, huh? It means to impale on a cross. Okay? To impale on a cross. But our understanding of what a cross is, this two-membered beam like that is not what it was talking about. It was a single stake. The original way that they crucified was they took a post like this and they sharpened it. And they picked them up, tied their hands behind their back, and set them right down on it. And then they would writhe in pain and kill themselves as they went down. And I'm not saying that's what they did to Jesus, but the word cross represents an upright stake or a pail, okay? The word staros. And that's what they did. When they said they crucified him, that means they impaled him on the cross. That's what the language is. And impale, to me, means stick something in you. So take it from where you want to go. Okay?
I still understand the word cross.
Well, it's there in the language. But the cross, the way you understand what the word is, see, in our modern language, this is what we see across, this two-membered thing. But in their language, it means this. Just a stake. Upright stake or pale. So he was impaled on this. Not on this. The language even says to be distinguished from the two-membered beam. It says right in the language. Okay? Go back where I'm at. Okay. And he said to them a third time, why, what evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore discipline him and let him go. And they were not instant, but they were insistent, what the language says. They were insistent with loud voices, desiring he be crucified, okay, impaled on the cross. And the voices of them and of the high priest prevailed, okay, Pilate. No, he was just a ruler. He was a Roman ruler. Okay, he wasn't the king. he was a top dog, but the king was in Rome, the leader in Rome, Caesar. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released to him that through, he released to them him that through the uprising and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their desires, to their will, not God's will, their will. It was God's will. Excuse me. I won't say that. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Syrian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. I can't even pronounce this word I wrote down. Okay. Simon, a Syrian, right? Cyrenian, that would be Cyrenian. Or another word for it is Pentelopen. No, I can't pronounce the word. It means supremacy of the bridle, what the word means. Coming out of the country, and on him he laid or imposed the cross, the stake or post set upright, that he might bear it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people of and women, which also beat their breasts in grief and mourned and wailed, what the language says. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourself and for your children." Why would he say that? Why did he say, "Weep for yourselves, daughters of Jerusalem"? His time's about over with. Yours is just beginning. We got to go through it, see? That's why he was saying it. You're the ones got to walk through this. I've already walked through it, now you got to go through it. He already knew where he was. He was finishing up. He was on the last leg of his journey here, so he knew it was coming. "Because, behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren," or someone that's sterile, "and the wombs that never regenerated, and the breasts that never nursed." Why? Why would he say that? Because even with the world the way it is today, you know, there's times when I thought, you know, even before I ever had children, do I really want to bring a child into this world with the condition it's in? You know, as bad as I was thinking out of my natural mind. Look how bad this world is, and this was a long time ago. And I was saying, 30 years ago, do I want to bring a child into this world? Because look what they have to live through. Now look what it is. If I had it today, honestly, if I had to do it today, I don't think, if I was a young person, I don't think I'd bring a child into the world. From what I've went through and what I've seen the changes, how much worse is it going to get down the road by the time they get? I don't know if I could do it. I mean, I don't know if I have the nerve enough to do it. You know, it's not my choice, I understand, but I wouldn't want to, knowing what they got to face in this world today. I wouldn't want to be a young child. I wouldn't want to start there for nothing. Okay? Okay. "Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us." You really think you can get under a hill and hide from God? He's everywhere. I mean, he's in you, so if you get under a hill, he went there with you. He's with you when you get there. I mean, where are you going to hide from? But they're looking in their natural mind. And look what he says, verse 31. "Because if they do these things in a green tree," that's a live tree, and that's Christ, right? "What shall be done in the dry?" Okay? We're in the dry land. What are we? Well, we're the land. We're the dry land. We're the dry tree. He's the green tree. He's the one with life. And without him and us, do we have any life? No. He said, if they're going to do this to me, I've never done anything wrong. Jesus was a man who never did anything wrong, right? and they did this, they crucified him as cruel to him as they was, what are they going to do to us when we have done things wrong? What place will we have to complain? Do we have a place to complain? Do we? Didn't get much of an answer on that. Do we have much of a chance to complain? We have a chance, but we shouldn't do it. We don't have the right to. Okay. And there are also two different malefactors led with him to be put to death. I don't want to make an issue out of it. I'm not going to. Okay. There were more than just two with him on the cross. There was at least five, and I don't want to get into that right now. And it's not where I'm trying to go. If you want to know it, you can come ask me later, and I'll tell you about it. And when they were come to the place which is called what? The word there is cranion. It means skull. The place of the skull. Guess what all this culmination of this is all about? It's about killing the carnal mind. So why did he go to the place of the skull to be crucified? Huh? What? But see, he had to kill the skull first, see? Oh my. Yes, it is. But he went to the place called cranion, the place of the skull, where they impaled him or crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What do you think that's all about? Where do his words come from? That was the heart of God speaking through this man who was being killed on the cross. He'd been beaten unmercifully. In the Psalms it said he was beaten beyond recognition. You couldn't even recognize him as a human being. He was beat up so bad. And yet, what's he saying? Grace and mercy. Forgive him. See? And that ain't easy. I'm telling you, that ain't nothing easy about it. And we got to do the same thing. It's setting the pattern that we have to follow the same. I don't care whether I like what somebody did to me. I don't have a right to change and not give them mercy and grace. In Matthew 25, it says it this way. We must forgive our brothers every trespass. And if you do not, your heavenly Father will turn the tormentors loose upon you until you've paid the last farthing. Till you've paid your debt yourself. And you know what I can tell you right now? There ain't a person on the face of the earth that can pay their own debt. It's already been paid, but we couldn't pay it if he didn't pay it. We couldn't pay it. So the only option we have is this. You got either plan A or plan A. Okay?
It is finished.
There's no options to this. It's plan A. Whatever he said, that's what it is. You don't have no plan B. It's just plan A or plan A. Any way you look at it, do what he says. And it says, and they parted his raiment and cast lots. Came out of Psalm 22, verse 18. They gambled. They cast lots to see which one got his raiment. Why do you think that everybody wanted his raiment? It was a garment of royalty. His clothing spoke that he was a king. Because his garment was made with one single thread. There was no seams in it. And he was a king. And he wore the clothing of a king. He just didn't act like the kings of the earth, did he? He was much more humble than that. And so they wanted his clothing because it was very valuable. And that was the one they wanted. All the other parts, but they wanted that outer garment. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him or sneering at him, saying, he delivered others, let him, and the word save really is soterios, still means delivered. He delivered others, let him deliver himself. If he is Christ, the chosen of God, if he is the Christ, let him deliver himself. Could he have done that? Well, you know what? I don't think he could have. I've thought that myself for a long time, that he could have. But see, he already said in the garden, Father, it's not my will, didn't he? So he really didn't. Do you think God would have sent him here and give him the opportunity to change it? Think about it. What's that one? Yeah, I know it. Well, but you see what I'm saying? I mean, he had the power to do it, but he didn't have the mind to do it. You hear the difference? He had the power to change things if he wanted to, but he never had the heart to change what Father had set before him to do. Can't be changed. See? It was already written, wasn't it? In the Scriptures, it was already written. Can the Scriptures be nullified? Nope. See there? He didn't have a choice, did he? He had to do what he had to do, and God knew the vessel he chose would do exactly what he asked him to do. And see, that's the beautiful thing about our lives. God has a pattern for every one of us. I say it this way, he has a custom-made walk for each one of us. And he knows exactly what you'll do and what you won't do. He knows exactly what he's got to do to set everything up to bring you to the perfection that you need to be in. Some people can look at your path and say, well, geez, you ain't going through nothing. But it's the very thing you need for your life. And I could say, well, I could walk your path real easy. But you know what? That wasn't made for me. My path was made for me. And your path is just as hard for you as mine is for me. He made my shoes and he made your shoes, and we both walk in our own shoes, don't we? And so that course that he sets before us was set up for him, and it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do in our life. And that makes me feel good to know that whatever I'm doing it the way God wants it done, wherever he wants it. I'm not going to compromise from it. And the reason I can't compromise is because that's the way he made me. It's not my plan. You just come off the pattern, and the pattern, if you take a cookie cutter and start cutting out cookies, you know, every time you do it, it's going to be the same pattern. And if you use the same pattern every time, it's got to come out to the same one. And if he cuts us out of him, and he said we come out of him, didn't we? So guess what we got to be? Exactly what he wants. He wouldn't have put somebody in there like Judas Iscariot to fulfill the other end where Jesus fulfilled. But see, Judas fulfilled exactly what he was supposed to do. Jesus told him, whatever you got to do, go ahead and do it. You got to do it. He didn't have an option, did he? He said, I chose you and you was a devil. So he knew what he was doing. He chose the ones to do what needed to be done. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Literally, that word vinegar isn't what it says in the language. It's a mixture of sour wine and water. So wasn't very good, was it? And saying it's kind of like a painkiller that they give. But said the soldiers drank this too, and I think it was for a painkiller. And the soldiers also mocked him because of vinegar and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, deliver yourself. And the inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors or criminals, which was hanged, railed or blasphemed on him, saying, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other responding rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God or reverence God, or are you not in awe of God? Because you are in the same sentence as he is. Now, back up a minute. And this goes into another passage in the book of Revelation, Revelation 13, talking about the mark of the beast. Do you remember what something about the beast that was real remarkable? About the beast himself. Do you remember? He had a wound in one of his heads, a deadly wound, but he did yet what? Okay. It says a wound in the head by a what? Sword. Okay. If we go back to Genesis, look what we're seeing here. Go back to Genesis. What's the word of God called? A sword. Okay. In Genesis 2:16, guess what he said? God says it this way. 2:16. He said, Adam, if you partake of this tree, what's going to happen? Okay, was that the word of God? Well, guess what else it is? It's the sword of God. He died by the word of God. Don't eat of the tree. Eat of the tree, you shall surely die. Right? Okay. And it says the rest of this passage in Revelation 13 says it this way. and he yet did live, and the words implied there is by that same sword. And right here, he said this, Lord, when you enter my kingdom, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. The one man says it this way, if you be the Christ, come down and save yourself and us. Who else said that, if you be the Son of God? The accuser in the desert when Jesus in the temptation. See, that was the carnal mind, the devil, whatever you might want to call it. But he was defeated where? Right here at this cross. At the same time he was being defeated, guess what happened? This other man says, Lord, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. Now I'm going to ask you something. How could he remember him if he hadn't known him before? You know where he knew him? The garden. Because that was Adam being restored. The same, the beast that was killed was the Adamic beast. Adam was being restored right there. And the same words that Jesus spoke, today you'll be with me in paradise. Is that not the word of God? Every word that proceeded out of Jesus' mouth, was it the word of God? Yes. Same sword that killed Adam restored him, because Jesus is called the last Adam. It's the same thing going on right here. He's restoring everything back to where it belongs. Okay? And he says, and we indeed justly, because we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing improper or wicked. Nothing. See, Adam knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong. You know why? Because he met him before the foundation. He met the Christ long before this foundation came along, the world came along. And he said to Jesus, remember when you appear in your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, this very day you will be with me where? How about in Eden? Where is it? Where else is it? Where does God live? The Garden of Eden. It's in the mind. It's the mind of Christ. But the Garden of Eden is where this all took place to start with, in parable, with Adam. Huh? Before the separation, you're going to go back where you was before that. And see, paradise is not a geographical location. It's in here. And he said, you're going to go right back to where you were before the foundation of the world. You're going back with me. And where was that at? Adam walked with God in the Garden of Eden. Oneness with God. The uniting of man and God. See, that's the whole thing, the perfection right there, that man and God being brought back together. And Jesus was the mediator to bring man back to God. The whole picture. That oneness, the atonement. Okay. Good. Okay. It's all right. That's okay.
I follow you.
Okay. That's okay. But paradise is literally, if you read the word paradise, it doesn't say Eden, but see, that's some of the spiritual understanding. God lives in paradise. He lives in Eden. And it said, Adam walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden, which was called Eden. So I said Eden there because that's where it was. In Eden, it was God and man back together, the way they were from the very beginning. Okay? Beautiful passage. And it was about the sixth hour. What hour would that be? The hour of man. It was about the time for man to get his due, wasn't it? Okay. Because the Adam was about to die. And there was a darkness or ignorance over all the earth until the ninth hour. Ignorance was on the earth. From the time of man until the time of the gift. Is it nine the gifts? Until Christ came, guess what was on the earth? Ignorance. You can go back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and guess what you're going to find out? That ignorance was on the face of humanity until God protected it. And God protected it the whole time it was there, until it was time to bring them out. Okay? And the sun was darkened, or literally eclipsed, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. The sun was darkened. What's it telling you? He died. Huh? What's that, baby? It's in several places, yeah. See? But the sun was darkened because he died. And the veil of the temple, and this word temple here is not the Hieron, which everybody knows. In that temple, which was called the Hieron temple or the literal temple, the veil was rent from top to bottom, right? But this word here is naos. Now, these writers know better than putting naos where Hieron should have been. There's a spiritual temple and a literal temple. This word here is naos, means spiritual temple. So what's he telling you? That his flesh was rent. That his body was rent. See, this is naos. This is not, it's a spiritual temple here. That word, it just, see, the flesh was separated from the body. There was death. See, it was a separation there. In the spirit. See, that's what he's talking, it's going on in the spiritual temple here. Not in that natural, literal temple over there in Jerusalem that don't even exist anymore. It happened in spirit. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I place, not command, that's King James language, I place my spirit. And he, having said this, he, what's it say? Gave up the ghost, breathed his last, literally in the language says, he breathed his last breath. They put this thing, he gave up the ghost, because I don't know, some of this language they say is really crazy, but that's what they say. The real language says he breathed his last breath. And if you want to look up a parallel where this quote came from, it's out of Psalm 31, verse 5, where he breathed his last breath. Okay, he commanded his spirit into his Father's hand. Verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, really, this was an innocent man. Too late now. Cow's out of the barn. Why close the gate now? You know. And all the people that came together to that spectacle, acknowledging the things that were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance, and you know what the word says there? Not his acquaintance. It says all the well-known. Who's he talking about? The disciples. The 11, because one of them's already gone here. Judas is already gone. So he's talking about, should have been the 12, but it's 11. And the women that followed him from Galilee, where'd they all start? What's your background? You know what mine was? Heathen, just like everybody else's. We start there and we're going back to Jerusalem where we belong. Okay? Stood afar off. He said, every one of them, even his disciples, stood afar off. You know what that's saying? At this time, nobody knew what was going on. These men didn't understand what he was saying. How many times have I taught you in the past weeks where these disciples had no understanding of what he was speaking to them? In the languages, they didn't understand, they didn't comprehend, they didn't perceive the things that he said. These men and women did not understand when this was going on. And I'm going to tell you something else. You or I, neither one understood when God began to deal with that thing in our life. All we knew was we was hurting, and it wasn't comfortable, and I don't like what's going on. I'm telling you the truth, what was in my heart. I didn't like what was going on. I come to church so I could have an easy road. That's what everybody told me it was. And I found out they lied to me. When you come to God, then the hell starts, doesn't it? It's not about coming and finding an easy course. It's coming and finding out that the straight course is hard to stay on. It's easier to, when you come up to a big bump in the road, to go around it than go through it. And you can't go around anything in this kingdom of God. You got to face everything God puts before you. So when I come to there, I found out, my God, we're in for a ride. This is tough. There's nothing easy about it. But everyone stood afar off, beholding these things. They were watching them, but they didn't understand what they were. We were all afar off and beholding things from a distance. And it says, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. That word counselor is wrong. It should say, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. The language says he was a member of the Sanhedrin. That was the Jewish council. And he was a good man and a righteous man. The same had not voted with the council or the Sanhedrin. Okay? He didn't vote with their purpose. They were voting on what to do with Jesus, you know, privately. They were trying to figure out how to get rid of him. He didn't go along with them, is what it's saying. And the same did not consent. He didn't vote with or to the purpose and acts of them. Heights. He was from the Heights. Someone tell me what you're talking about. He was from the Heights. Literally, the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay? From the spirit realm. He was in from a higher place. This man had a purpose with God, a higher purpose than what all these natural Jewish priests and counselors and all that stuff was. He was from a higher place. He was from Arimathea, the Heights. A city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged, or literally desired, and this is an amazing word, the body of Jesus. You know what's the matter here? You know what this word body is? There's two words for body in the Greek language. One's carrion, and it means a dead body. Okay? And another one, soma, which means a sound, whole body. You know what he asked for right here? The soma. You know what that tells me? Oh God, make me jump out of my skin. Jesus wasn't dead. Christ wasn't dead. The body of Christ never died. It was the man Jesus that died. It was Christ that resurrected and stood up. And he said, when he come to get the body, he didn't come to get a dead body. That word says a sound, whole body. And dead is carrion. Guess what? He had to been from the heavenly side, or he could not have said, give me the live body. Give me the whole body of Jesus. He couldn't have known that there was life in that body. Oh, God. Boy, some things you can see in here blow you straight up. And he took it down and wrapped it in what? Righteousness. White linen is righteousness. And laid it in a tomb that was hewn in the stone. You know, it says even in the Old Testament, he was the stone cut out of the mountain, hewn out of the mountain. And then he was put back into the mountain in a hole cut in that stone, put back in it. I think that's beautiful. Went right back where he was. Where never a man before was laid. And the day was the preparation of the Sabbath. It says drew on. Literally should begin to dawn. The Sabbath day began to dawn. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed closely and beheld the tomb and saw his what? Soma again. You look the word yourself. Soma. Sound, whole body. Number 4983 in the Strong's Concordance. S-O-M-A. You look at S. S-O-M-A. Number 4983 in your Strong's Concordance. You can look in Matthew 24, and I'll tell you where you can find the two words to compare them. Matthew 24, and I think it's Luke 17 or Luke 21, Luke 21, where it talks about in Matthew 24 about where the body is, there will the vultures be gathered together. That word there is carry on. The one in Luke says where the body is, the eagles will be there also. And everybody thinks those are parallel scriptures. One's talking about a dead body with a vulture, and one's talking about a live body with an eagle. Two different things. Look at your two words there in Luke 21 and in Matthew 24, and you'll find out those two words. You'll find the word carry on when it says the body in one place in Matthew 24, and you'll find the word soma used in Luke 21. Dead body versus live body. Sound, whole body. What's a sound, whole body? Would that be alive? I'd say it was. Nope. He said he would not allow his righteous to see corruption. Says that right in the Old Testament. No. Well, the flesh did, but the spirit inside of it never let it go. For soma. Mm-hmm. It's already saved. Well, it just went away. You know. The body, he showed up back in that body again later to show him, you know, the scars and everything, which we'll get to that. Yes, it is. Because the natural mind can't grasp the power of what he's doing. See? But things that are impossible are possible with God. Not with humans, but with God. Just want you to look at those words and see the difference. See, I see a fantastic thing when I see this word soma, because this is a sound whole body. And this man knew something that these other people didn't know. That was you. There you go. And they returned and prepared the spices and not ointments but myrrh and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Why? The commandment, the law. Under the law on the Sabbath day, you did no work.
Why are you reading the law right now?
Hold on. Because he had not been resurrected yet. He had died, but he had been crucified, but he did not.
It
is. His part of it's done, but until his resurrection came about, the new covenant was not sealed. See? There's a place in there. And I can't pull the scripture right now. I think it might even be in the next chapter. Okay, hang on a minute. Jesus said, when Mary come to touch him, I think it's the next chapter. When Mary came to him in the morning of the resurrection, he says, don't touch me yet, because I've not yet ascended to my Father. He had, and in Hebrews it said, he walked boldly into the throne room through the blood of Jesus. You know, we can walk boldly in through his blood. And his blood was sacrificed, poured out to the Father. Okay, until that sacrifice had went to the heavenlies, it wasn't yet time to touch him. So some wild things to understand. We got to get out of this earthly realm totally to understand what we're saying. You see what I mean? It's not easy. We've really got to get away from this natural thinking. The Sabbath day was not done away with until his resurrection time. And as of this point right here, he hadn't resurrected. Next chapter, he gets to resurrect, right? So right now, he is not here as far as the natural is concerned. He's already passed through. And now to his resurrection, so he had to wait that many days. On the third day, he'll be perfected, right? So we got to wait for a couple days. You'll just have to wait a week for me to preach this next section, ever teach it, because that's next Thursday. Okay. But he just he stepped into the other realm. Now, do you know where he went when he did that? When he stepped and died, where'd he go? Does anybody know where it's at? Peter. It's in Peter. I'm trying to figure where it's at, what verse it's in. Trying to find it. I'll go ahead and cut this off.
Let me turn this off.